Dante commands the Fae guarding them to let him pass, and they do, because he's the king's brother. Our horses' hooves clack against the slick sandstone as they race down the broad avenues, away from the ocean, away from the Pureblood district. Before we've even reached the checkpoint, the gates are flung open. After cantering past the same guard who let us through earlier, Dante drops his mouth to my ear.
If you cared at all for me, Fallon, you wouldn't have brought back the greatest Fae killer behind my back.
That Fae killer will fetch you a throne. Dante slides his nose down my damp cheek, and although my skin pebbles, it isn't with lust.
Until my brother's dead, I'll hold my breath.
Dead? Morgott said he'd carry him to Shabin Shores and let them deal with Marco.
I may hate my brother, Fallon, but I'm merciful enough to give him an honorable death rather than a sadistic one.
Merciful? I'm so shocked by his admission that my lips part, but a lungful of rain reseals them. I cannot believe Dante's ready to end his brother's life, that he speaks of it with such detachment.
Where will your loyalties lie once the deed is done?
With you. They've always lain with you. How can you ask me that?
Because you called that crow your majesty, which makes me question your allegiance.
What are you talking about? When did I call him your majesty?
What do you think Morgott means?
That's his name. The sound of his laugh is despicable because he's laughing at me.
Fallon, that Corvo's name is Lorkin. Lorkin Rebia.
Lorkin? But I...
Also referred to as the Sky King, or by his intimate circle, as Lor.
The crow is named after his master? That must get confusing.
His master?
Lor, the master of the five crows.
Don't you know anything about the crows?
I know my father was one of them. I now know they have a king, whom I've been calling His Majesty. I glower up at the steel-gray sky, hoping Lorkin, intercepts it. How could you let me call you that? Did you need your ego stroked? Is that why you didn't correct me? Not for the first time. I feel duped.
I wasn't trying to mislead you, Fallon.
Then why? Why did I have to learn of your true identity through Dante?
In case you spoke my name out loud, which you did on multiple occasions, few people have heard the term Morgott, but everyone is familiar with the name Lor.
If you'd told me the truth, if you'd explained it to me, gods, I feel so stupid.
You are anything but.
I press my palms against my ears. Stop. Just stop.
Is he trying to feed you more lies?
His question slips through the web of my fingers. My throat stings from the tidal wave of anger mounting within me. Slowly, I lower my palms. Tell me. Tell me everything about Lorkin Rebia and his crows.
You realize he will tell the Fae version of our story.
I'll take the Fae version over the fake version.
Fallon?
Don't. If Dante wasn't trapping me in the saddle, I would jump off and pace the drenched sands of Selvati until my rage subsided.
Once upon a time, when Luce was still divided between warring tribes, one of the mountain clans struck a deal with a Shabin demon to become more powerful than all the others, to become unkillable.
That wasn't...
Don't! Dante's long braids tinkle as we ride, the gold beads slapping against one another.
The demon demanded payment, and against many of his clan's wishes, Lor paid, and dearly at that.
With coin?
No, Fallon. With something even more precious. He paid with his humanity, with his people's humanity.
I don't understand.
They gave up being men. They gave up being men and accepted to become monsters. Mammoth birds with weaponized extremities that can be turned to stone or iron, but cannot be killed.
So Lor was once a man?
Lor is still a man. One who can shapeshift at will into a hideous crow or into a puff of noxious smoke that can choke pure-blooded Fae.
My skin prickles. And his master? Can he also shapeshift? I feel the curve of Dante's mouth against my temple and hate that he's getting a kick out of my naivety.
The Sky King answers to no one, Fallon. He has no master.
Lor's golden eyes spark behind my lids. I remember thinking how they looked strikingly like Morgott's. Oh, the irony. They weren't similar, they were the same eyes. eyes in front of which I paraded around naked. My embarrassment is flattened by my fury. You're a man?
I never hid the fact that I was male, Fallon.
No, just the fact that you're a two-legged one. How dare you, Lord? How dare you?
It's not a joke to me, Baekhyun.
He may have softened his voice, but it doesn't soften me. Do you understand Crotongue, Dante?
I'm familiar with their dialect. Why?
What does Baekhyun mean?
It means dumb bird. Why?
Dumb bird? That's what he's been calling me? Dumb? Although I suspected it was unkind, I'm wholly unprepared for the surge of hurt that crashes atop the tide of my anger.
Baek does not mean dumb, Fallon. It means little. The word for dumb, in case you ever fancy using it, is Bilk.
Why should I believe you?
Why would I call the girl helping me dumb?
Because I swallow pretty lies like Faye swallow wine.
Fallon, I swear upon Morrigan that Dante's translation is wrong.
I don't know who this Morrigan person is, but imagine she's some crow deity, or he wouldn't be invoking her name in an oath. After minutes of mashing my molars, I ask, why little bird?
Because that's what you are.
I'm neither sprite-sized nor a bird.
By little, I mean young. And genetically, you will one day be able to transform into a bird.
The idea of shifting forms, of shedding skin for feathers and growing wings, of flying, buffs the sharp points of my emotions. I'm still angry, but I'm also staggered. What if I don't want to shapeshift?
Then you won't. But I have yet to meet a crow who doesn't crave the freedom of flight.
I dwell on that as we travel through the rain-soaked, derelict human land, across endless places of sand, toward the sweep of green that is the jungle. Although the storm halts when we breach the canopy of palms and other tropical plants, the air remains moist, preventing my hair and dress from drying. Minutes turn into hours before we come across anything other than exotic creatures not quick enough to camouflage themselves. I wouldn't call the ride relaxing. It isn't. But it gives me time to parse through the new information I've acquired. My mind is so adrift that when we pass a house woven from bamboo shoots, I almost miss it. But then we trot past another and another. Unlike in Selvati, the edifices are large and shiny, with window panes, thatched rooftops, and plots of cultivated land. Is this still Selvati?
No, Tarascogli, the western equivalent of Taralexo.
I've never heard of it.
Because it's a new settlement that hasn't been added to our maps. In truth, its name isn't even official, but people call it Tarascogli because it sits on the cliffs.
The land of the bluffs. It's pretty.
In case you ever tire of Taralexo, you could move here.
Dante's words travel from my ears to my heart by way of my ego. Even though I'd expect a comment like this from Marco or Tavo, I didn't expect Dante to suggest I stick to a place crowded with people like me, with rounded ears but magic in their blood. Bronwyn's prophecy clangs through my mind, reminding me that the only place I'll settle will be the Royal Isle. Maybe I'd prefer an estate in Tataspegia. I wouldn't. I merely want to observe Dante's reaction.
No one will sell you land in Tataspegia. It would be illegal, not to mention expensive.
Once you're king, you can make it legal.
I'd have a revolution on my hands. Is that really how you wish me to begin my reign?
Of course I don't wish you uprisings, but there's so much to change in Luce. Humans need better living conditions, and half-bloods should have the right to use their magic as often as purebloods.
I agree.
And serpents need to stop being hunted. My suggestion is met with silence. Did you hear me?
I heard you, but as long as they attack us...
If we stopped attacking them, they'd stop attacking us.
We're not all Shaban.
I'm not Shaban, Dante.
You can talk to serpents. For Cauldron's sake, stop denying it.
For the last time, I cannot talk to serpents, but I do feel a connection to them, the same way I feel a connection to most animals.
Because you're crow, Fallon. Animals scent what we are through our blood.
My lids pull up as I remember Minimus's reaction to my wound. Morgott, too, had... I'll never get his name straight. Lorcan. I hammer the word into my mind, evicting the other. Lorcan has finally solved one mystery. How I failed to elucidate it the moment he showed me who fathered me is beyond me. Is it because I hadn't yet come to terms with my heritage? Not that I have accepted it yet.
How do you know you're not Shaban? Have you met your father? Is that another secret you hoard?
Even though I bristle, I remind myself that Dante must still be in shock. I know I'm not Shaban because Lorcan...
is your father.
The noose of Dante's arms loosens, undoubtedly from disgust.
That's why he's so protective of you.
What? No, I am a crow's daughter, but not his. Lorcan's just protective because I'm the only person who can free him.
The only person, huh?
Tavo says, right before his face contorts with such pain that I think Lorcan planted his iron talons into a soft area on his body.
I wasn't planning on killing her, you god's damned psycho!
Gabriele is looking at me too, but he has the good sense, or the good manners, not to speak.
A crow.
Dante's eyes slightly glazed, his grip stays slack. It's not contagious. He glances at my face, something hard and guarded in his eyes. He'll eventually see past it, but in the meantime, it hurts. I'm still me. The silence becomes as thick and sticky as the humidity. Ugh, I shouldn't have told him.
Never be ashamed of who you are, Fallon.
I'm not ashamed, and butt out of my head, you aren't welcome. The distance between the houses begins to shrink.
How have you hidden your shapeshifting for so long?
I haven't hidden it. I cannot shapeshift, the same way I cannot control fey magic.
And why is that?
I lick the salt of the sea and the frustration of my impotence off my lips. My magic was bound in utero.
So you wouldn't transform to obsidian. The crows were no longer present when you were born. So who bound it?
Dante is wary of me enough as it is that I decide not to share the Shaban's involvement. Like I said, they bound it before my birth, before they were all cursed.
Sounds like Shaban magic to me. The wards were weak back then. One of them could have snuck in.
To bind my magic? A waste of their time and competence, if you ask me.
Not if you're the beast's only key to return to the land of the living.
Tavo rubs the back of his head as though it still aches from his fall.
If you hadn't intervened, those fey killers would have been gone another 5 centuries.
If I hadn't intervened, Marco would have ended up killing Dante to keep the throne, just like he killed his own father. My revelation causes the loudest hush to fall over my entourage. Even the horses go still, stopping in the middle of a darkened road.
The Vulture King tell you that? 'Cause the real story...
Laura must be showing him the real story because the Fae's eyes glaze over. Dante's and Gabriele's too.
Every coin's got 2 sides, Corvo.
Tavo's grumble makes his horse flick his ears back and forth.
If what he just showed us is true...
The moonlight that drizzles through the trees hits Gabriele's face, highlighting the male's sudden pallor.
If Marco...
Marco may be impulsive, but if he beheaded his own father, it would be known.
Would it? Lazarus once told me that my father wanted to make peace with the crows, and that Marco never allowed him to perform the traditional fey burial rites on our father. Instead, my brother set fire to our father's corpse right where it lay in Rex.
Because a healer would have been able to tell what had caused the lethal wound.
Fuck! His own father! Your father!
I'm sorry, Dante. He acknowledges my empathy with a nod.
Let's find a place to spend the night. The cliff roads are too treacherous to travel without light.
With barely any nudging, Furia sets off again. 2 streets down, we come upon a 2-storied structure that glows in spite of the late hour. The words Taverna Mare are shaped in seashells above the door. An ocean inn sounds like an idyllic resting spot. Dante releases the reins.
Gabriel, help Fallon down.
I don't need help.
Planning on flying down, are you?
I flip him off as I swing my leg over Furia's neck and dismount in a heap of velvet. The male smirks. Gods, I really hate him. Gabriele's attention is leveled on the sky.
Did he follow us here?
What do you think?
Dante nods toward the glued seashells, where a sooty drift breaks off into 3 separate puffs. It's been hours since I've spoken to Lorcan. And although my anger hasn't waned, something bothers me too much to keep up my cold shoulder. You can morph into a man, right?
I can.
I think of the hands I felt along my spine last night. Have you turned into one?
I need all 5 of my crows for my flesh to turn solid.
I cannot help the wrinkle that pleats my nose. You mean I'd see your insides?
No insights. Just a shadow that, with every crow, grows more solid.
Care to share what he's telling you?
Keep the fact that you can walk into my mind our secret, all right?
I chew on my lip, curious as to why I should keep it to myself since Dante and his friends are now part of the team. But I suspect more lore has a good reason.
More lore? Has a nice ring to it.
Don't get used to it. I'm trying to forget the majesty part, but you know what they say about a bad habit.
Enlighten me. What do they say?
That it's like parchment tossed in water. It takes a while for it to sink.
They're probably conspiring against us.
Tavo tries to walk Furia to the trough, but my stallion refuses to follow where the Fae soldier leads. Definitely sleep with one eye open tonight. I pluck the lead rope from him. My quip leeches some of the amber from his irises.
If anything happens to me, he will never walk the earth.
I frown at Dante. Is he implying he'd command me to stop reviving Lorcan's crows?
Not command.
Lorcan's deep timbre strokes my mind like a finger gloved in velvet. He'd imprison me? When the crow offers no response, I look at Dante, who's rubbing the soles of his boots against the doormat. How would you stop me, Dante? His gaze stays locked on the bristly pad beneath him.
I'd hope an oath would suffice.
Instead of mentioning that oaths don't take to my skin, I ask, you'd hope?
Fal, don't make me say it. It'll only anger you, and you're already in a wretched mood.
My eyes go as wide as my mouth. Is he saying you'd kill me?
I'd prefer not to, but my kingdom...
I raise my hand to shut him up. Dante would kill me. He'd kill me. My anger shifts from the crow to the fairy, then back to the crow who started all this, before swinging back to the fairy who cannot love me enough if he's willing to end my life. Dante keeps polishing his boots when what needs polishing is his cold, cold heart. Because that part of him has wholly lost its luster. Mood soured, I tie Furia to a water trough on the side of the inn, then swipe a finger across my collarbone that comes away coated in umber sludge. Not that I care so much about what anyone thinks of me at the moment. I pass my hands through my damp hair and shake out more grit.
What's our story?
He rests his hand on the doorknob, which he's yet to twist.
We're riding home.
What about Ransom Girl? She'll be seen with her?
Dante's eyes are as hard as marble as they look my way. Mine are harder.
Marco asked me to keep an eye on her, so it serves us all to be spotted together.
Don't know what your plans are, but I'm done camping on the doormat. I want food, a bath, and a broad. Especially since I hear the girls are prettier in these parts. More, exotic.
He waggles his eyebrows before shouldering open the door. The smell that escapes would normally make my wilted insides clamor for food, but they're tied in too many knots to so much as growl. Unlike his brutish friend, Gabriele holds the door open for Dante, who climbs up the three front steps, then ducks beneath the low door frame, but not before looking over his shoulder at me.
Come, Fallon.
There's no place farther I'd like to be than at this man's side. I'll come when I'm ready.
I'm not going to kill you. Our interests are all aligned.
But if they weren't, gods, I thought I hated Lorcan, but it pales for how I feel about Dante.
I'd murder him first, Beakin.
Of course he would. Anything for his precious crows. My lashes sag under the weight of my harrowing disappointment.
You forget that you're one of them, Fallon. One of my precious crows.
I'm only precious because I'm your tool, Lorcan Rebyaw. And that is exactly what I am. A tool. A pawn. A thing to be used and discarded by these men. I stare between the Sky King and the Earth Prince who both need me, Bronwyn's prophecy thudding through my skull. Free the five Iron Crows, and you will be queen. Bronwyn never mentioned I'd be Dante's queen. Only that Luce would be mine. My anger turns to shock. Shock and confusion. Lorcan was going to put me on the Isola Quarden throne. I shake my head, fists clenching. What a marvelous puppet I would have made.
That isn't.
I raise my palm to quiet him. I don't want to hear any more sweet lies or unsavory truths. Not tonight, not ever. After this, Lorcan, after I've brought you and your crows home, I'll be leaving Luce and the two of you idiots. You can murder each other for all I care. Resolve drying my eyes, I stomp beneath Lorkin and past Dante. Our arrival knocks open a fair share of mouths and eyes. Although wet sand dulls the splendor of my sopping gown, I still stick out like a fae at a sprite carousel. Thankfully, the three males in full military regalia stick out more. I shiver as heat envelops my body, pimples my skin, and loosens my joints. I hadn't even realized how nippy it was outside. Fire is a truly wondrous element. As I stare around the small rustic establishment, I compare it to bottom of the jug. Here, there are no chairs, only benches. The bar can barely fit the two women behind it, and the tables are all communal. Nevertheless, the bare-chested doxies are present. Young men and women, with hair down to their shoulders, straddle laps, feeding patrons drinks and food using fingertips, teeth, and cleavage. None have spiky ears, but also none have shaved scalps. I count three pairs of spiked ears amongst the patrons, and that doesn't include the men I've come with. The room is silent. Even the giggling harlots have grown as gap-mouthed as the fish smoking over the fire in the large hearth.
Oh my gods. It's...
One of them stands so abruptly that whatever food she'd smeared on her collarbone for her customer to lick off drops to the floor.
Princey Dante!
She curtsies, a glob of brown sauce rolling down the channel between her breasts.
Sit, please. No need for any greetings.
A woman with sharp green eyes and cheeks rouged by heat and manual labor walks out from behind the narrow bar.
Altitza! What a surprise! Welcome! What can we get you and your riding party?
Hay, and an attendant for our horses. Food, board, and a bath for us.
Of course, sire. I'll get one of my lads to watch over them.
A young boy in patched-up blue coveralls pops out of what I assume is the kitchen.
Orion, see to our guest's horses.
Not much meat on this one. Are you certain he's big enough to fend off potential thieves?
The woman winds a protective arm around her youngling's neck.
There are no thieves in this part of the kingdom, signore.
Even though she's two heads shorter than Tavo, she holds herself with such dignity that she wins my full admiration.
You're lucky. Our side of Tareluce is infested with filchers.
He looks straight at me as he says it. I narrow my eyes. What exactly is he accusing me of having stolen? The crows? You can't steal something that doesn't belong to the person who had it. Just mortals trying to survive, Tavo.
What about beds and baths?
We have three rooms available. Do you suppose that will suffice? Otherwise...
We'll make it work.
Dante drops a heavy arm around my shoulders and reels me into the crook of his body. Unlike in the past, my body goes as rigid as a day-old corpse. I don't say anything as the little boy goes out to our horses and the matron of the house bustles about, clearing the end of one table by shoving diners off benches. Once we're seated, though, I hover my mouth by Dante's stud-lined ear. One of those rooms will be mine, only mine.
You must be watched.
He grabs a bread roll from the fabric basket a serving girl deposited between the four of us. Even though my appetite is non-existent, I take a piece of bread and chomp into it as though it were an apple.
Afraid I'll make off with your enemy and your crown?
I throw him a saccharine smile. He stiffens so suddenly that his bones creak as he shifts his torso toward me. I drop the fake smile and the attitude and concentrate on the bread, which is delicious and fills one of the holes inside of me. Luckily for you, I'm uninterested in the loosened crown. To plug more of the holes the prince and the crow have torn, I think of everything I love, everything I'll get back once this is over. Phoebus's squishy heart, Sybil's contagious laughter, Nonna's unwavering affection, Mama's fiery hair, the crackle of old books, the sweet tartness of berries, the temper of storms, the color of rainbows, the sparkle of stars, the fragrance of the ocean.
I'm sorry, Beakian.
I slip more bread between my lips, then chase it down with some water.
Don't hurt the boy tending to the horses.
His answer seems to take forever to reach me.
I would never hurt a child.
A pitcher of fairy wine arrives, along with another basket of fresh rolls, and then the food. Although Nonna taught me manners, I heap vegetables and stewed grains onto my plate and dig in before the prince has even served himself. Stomach blissfully full, I ball my napkin on the table and rise. I'll see you in the morning. Wake me when it's time to leave.
Tavos shakes the empty bottle of wine over his glass.
Fetch us another jug before you leave, eh?
Is he speaking to me? He glances past the girl straddling his lap, seemingly perplexed by the fact that I haven't done his bidding.
Oh, right. I forgot to add the magic word. Pefare.
As though tagging a please onto his demand makes his request more palatable. I know this may be confusing, what with this being a tavern and me working in one back home, but I'm not employed by these kind folks. But I'll ask Rosa for one on my way up. Rosa is the grown daughter of our hostess. Together with her mother and four younger brothers, they run the inn her half-blooded father built before he ran off with a Tare Spage in pure blood. I learned all of this from a loose-tongued neighbor who's been scooting closer and closer to our group since we sat down. Tavo's been jesting that the man will end up climbing atop Gabriele's lap if his friend doesn't set boundaries, but Gabriele is affable, and although he doesn't strike me as someone who'll let another walk all over him, much less sit all over him, he's kept his elbows firmly atop the table. I stroll away with reinvigorated spirits. Hey, Rosa, my lovely companions would like another jug of wine. Rosa, who's 3 years older than I am, again, a fact I learned from our chatty dinner companion, glances over at them, then back at me.
I'll bring one over. Do you need anything, m'lady?
I startle at being called m'lady when my ears are as round as hers.
Fallon. That's my name. As for whether I need anything, if you could show me to a bedroom and bath, I'd be eternally grateful.
She smiles and grabs a filled jug that she carries over to my riding party. Dante glances away from me long enough to thank her, but then his chary gaze is back on me. It would be a lie to say I don't miss the way he used to look at me, but that gondola has sailed. One day, I'll find someone who'll love and admire me for who I've become. My mind drifts to Antony as Rosa returns. Is he thinking of me?
Follow me.
She escorts me up a set of narrow stairs and down a corridor that's just as thin. At the very end, she opens the door of a small bedroom with a round wooden tub.
My brothers filled them with warm water from the village well.
Your well has warm water? Even though she hasn't touched anything, she wipes her hands again on her skirt.
They didn't use their powers.
Her defensiveness tells me that her brothers, probably a water fae and a fire fae, used their element to fill and heat the bath. If I had power, I'd use it for all menial jobs, even if it prematurely depleted my limited stock. A frown mars her smooth forehead, which is partially hidden behind blonde bangs.
Aren't you a half-blood?
I am. My power never manifested. I'm still hopeful, though.
I've never met a half-blood with no magic.
Well, now you have. She presses aside a lock of hair tangled with her eyelashes.
I'm sure you know this, but using magic is illegal.
Ridiculous, if you ask me. Her pupils widen at my candor. The prince agrees with me. Not that you should wield your magic in his presence.
Spiky ears don't frequently travel to these parts. What brings the prince here?
We're heading back east.
This isn't the usual route?
We wanted a scenic one. The door hinges groan, making Rosa jump. I'm half expecting to find Dante or one of his two friends standing in the jam, but there's only dark air. Very dark air. I narrow my eyes on a particularly obscure patch. Lorkin?
Yes, Fallon?
Get out of my room.
What makes you think I'm inside?
My eyebrows rise. Did I imagine the shifting shadows? Rosa turns toward where I stare, then walks over.
Cobwebs are a real problem in these parts. You're not scared of spiders, are you?
When she swipes her hand through the air, my heart stills. Sure enough, the shadow disperses. I can see you. I don't fear spiders.
The small red ones sting, but as long as you're a halfling, their venom shouldn't have lasting consequences.
I'll make sure to watch out for small, red, spindly-legged creatures. Thank you for the bath. I try to shoo her out of the bedroom to have words with Lore and shoo him off in turn, when I remember one more thing I need. Any chance I could trade this dress for clean clothes? Preferably trousers and a shirt? Her head rears back as though I've asked her to fill my bath with red creepy crawlies.
Trousers?
Perhaps one of your brothers would have a pair?
I'll see what I can find.
She looks me up and down. I smile at her, but receive no smile in return.
Thank you, Rosa.
Forehead pleated, she scurries out the door. Once the wood settles, I pivot toward the darkest part of the ceiling. Out. Now. The sly king morphs into his bird. One bird from the size of him.
Lock your door.
Once you leave.
Oh, because you think a lock will keep me out?
No, because I'm still holding out hope that you're a decent man who doesn't leer at women while they bathe.
I don't leer.
My hand slips to my hip. Oh, really?
You're my curse breaker. I watch over you.
Well, no need to watch over me at the moment. I won't drown in a foot of water.
If you want to get rid of me, lock your damn door.
Fine. I meant to do it anyway. All done. Now leave. Those golden eyes of his linger on my face as he transforms back into smoke, and then they vanish in a dense shadow that slithers toward me. The room is small, but not so small that he can't maneuver around me. And yet, as his smoke curls through the divide between door and wall, it brushes against my crossed arms, raising a slew of goosebumps. Ass. Once he's gone, I turn around and contort my pebbled arms to reach the fastenings of my dress. For someone who doesn't care to be touched, he doesn't seem all that bothered with touching others. A smile flips up a corner of my mouth as I imagine petting him. I bet that would keep him away.
You must truly work on your intimidation tactics, Baekhyun.
What I need to work on is guarding my thoughts. But aside from that, you'd enjoy being petted?
It depends by whom. And where.
My devious smile warps off my face as my mind tumbles into twisted places. I'm about to rouse your stone friends. I'm certain one of them will be only too glad to pet her king, wherever it is a king enjoys being petted. I joust with the laces on my dress, but instead of loosening them, I feel as though I'm tightening them. Sweat coats my brow as I finally manage to shed the dozen or so kilos of damp velvet. Sadly, I fail to shed the image of Lorkin, the bird, fornicating with one of his other bird people. I squeeze my eyes shut, hoping to squeeze the image from my lids, but it only drives it in deeper. Loud rapping on my door pulls me out of my bath before I'm ready to leave it. I grab the thin towel folded on the chair, shake it out, and wrap it around myself. I'm expecting Rosa with my clothes, but it's Dante, with no clothes. He steps inside and runs his gaze around the room, as though he expects me to be entertaining company. Probably a certain crow. See? I'm still here. Dante's gaze skims my wrapped body. Did you need something? He closes the door, sealing us in together.
Confirmation you hadn't fled.
The only place I'm fleeing to tonight is my bed. When he eyes it, I add, alone.
Have no fear. I'm not planning on getting into bed with a crow.
Although I've made up my mind about Dante, I deadpan.
He doesn't sleep in my bed either.
I wasn't speaking of him.
Oh, I know. Good thing for you, I don't much desire to lie with a man I disgust. So I guess it works out for everyone. I skirt the prince and yank open the door. Now that you've ascertained my whereabouts, kindly show yourself out, Princi.
My intention wasn't to cause you pain.
Perhaps not, but the more you look at me like I'm a monster, Dante, the more you make me feel like one.
How am I supposed to look at you?
Like I'm still me. Still a fucking girl. Still your friend. Or whatever I was to you. He takes a step toward me, looming over my smaller figure, and I think that maybe he'll grip my neck and kiss me. And that maybe, for closure, I'll let him. But then his nostrils flare, and he pivots and pounds back into the hallway and into the room across the hall. In a manner unbecoming of a future king, he smacks his door shut. Then again, the throne was never meant for him. After closing my own door, I look down at myself, at this body that causes him such disgust. Even though my nails haven't hardened into iron talons and my skin remains feather-free.
The lock, Baekhyun.
He's not coming back.
Perhaps not. But there are a dozen men downstairs, and although their odds of getting past me are non-existent, I'd prefer not to soak any floors with blood.
Stomach swishing from the picture he paints, I spin the lock, then pad over to my bed. Not all conflicts need to be resolved with murder, you know.
Men don't only bleed when they're dead.
Keeping the towel around me, I sit on the mattress, which is a mixture of soft and lumpy, then lift the sheets that smell like sunshine and tropical bark and burrow beneath them. Since I slept the day away, slumber doesn't wash over me. Not to mention, anticipatory nerves are firing everywhere in my body. Tomorrow, lore will be almost complete. What of your fifth crow, the one from the palace? I dim the lantern on the nightstand and watch the play of shadows on the smooth, lacquered wood ceiling.
Its carrier will reach the southern shores just after sunrise.
I picture Janna toting the bowl,
because who else could be involved?
It's not...
He stops speaking so suddenly that I sit up in bed and spin the dial on the fey light. Lore? Nothing. Lore. Lore! Heart walloping my ribcage, I lunge to the window and prop it open, then stick my head through. The little boy, Orion, sits on a bale of hay, whistling as Furia and the other three horses graze the pale stalks he's scattered around. My shout or the creak of the window must have alerted the child, because he glances up.
Everything all right, miss?
Yes!
I lie. Adrenaline rattles my bones.
Lore!
I rush toward my door, tripping on a corner of my towel. It takes me 3 attempts to unlatch my damn door, and 2 to pump the handle and get it open. I'm about to lurch toward Dante's door, but Rosa stands there, eyes wide, arms full.
I brought you clothes. Everything all right?
I lie to her as well, forcing a smile and grabbing the clothes from her arms. And then I shut the door in her guarded face and dress, forgoing the sodden underwear drying on the side of the bath. The pants are a little tight and a little short, and the shirt a little rough, but I'm too wired to worry whether my pant seams will burst or my nipples will bleed.
Lore?
Still no answer. All 3 of his crows can't possibly have been staked with obsidian. Since my socks are dripping water beside my underwear, I stuff my bare feet into the boots and lurch out of my room. My fists come down on Dante's door.
What?
It's me! A moment later, he pulls open the door, a towel knotted around his trim waist, his brown skin glistening with water. To think that chest was pressed against mine a week ago. Not the time for reminiscing, I chide myself.
What is it? Why are you dressed? In pants, no less.
I blink away from his hard body into his hard eyes.
Lore isn't answering me.
A nerve twitches at his left temple.
And I should care why?
Because something must have happened to him. That's why you should care. Just then, footfalls sound on the stairwell, and both Tavo and Gabriele appear, the tops of their heads grazing the low ceiling. Gaston the Sprite weaves between them, chest heaving.
Atesa, Zemo, Rosie, had the dome dug up. She knows, and she has sent sprites to warn the king.
I told you something was wrong.
Who's the boy?
I roll my eyes, really not in the mood for his brand of humor. Not that I'm ever in the mood for it. Shut up, Tavo.
The king sails south.
My gaze whirls in time with my heart.
Don't vanish like that.
I'm sorry, Beakin. I had to send my crows in different directions, and I cannot speak unless 2 of me are near each other.
My heart is still beating out of alignment, but knowing he's not a lump of iron makes me feel infinitesimally calmer.
Well, next time send me a vision.
Okay, calmer may be a stretch.
Tell them everything I tell you, Fallon. You need to set off tonight. I'll guide your way. Commander D'Argento realized my crow was stolen from the palace and has sent a sprite to inform Marco, who's already changed course, thanks to Zima Rossi's messengers. He's sailing back around Tarspagian now and should be on the southern front before daybreak.
My jaw has grown so slack, it takes me precious minutes to relay his words.
Merda.
The Occulti maid reported that you and Phoebus visited the safe. D'Argento just had your friend picked up.
I raise my palm to my mouth as cold fear swamps my chest and moisture floods my lids.
Also, a white-haired soldier rushed to your home.
Cato. That must be Cato. He's a good man. Did he reach Nonna? Did he get them out?
Bronwyn and Gianna had already gotten them away to safety.
My palm drops to my pounding heart.
They are safe, Beakin.
But Phoebus. Phoebus is not. Lorcan doesn't deny it. After trembling with adrenaline, my body now shakes with fear.
What about Phoebus?
Silvius took him. Took him to...
Can you finish a god's damned sentence?
Dante sets a hand on my shoulder and squeezes.
Where did Silvius take him?
To the safe. I snag my wobbly lip with my teeth.
What safe?
His family's safe, where one of Lore's crows was kept.
No more loyal a family to the crown than the Occultis.
I don't care where the Occulti's loyalties lie. All I care about is the fact that Silvius has my best friend. The second he discovers that the safe is empty, that Phoebus helped me. The words he'd spilled inside my ear the day he escorted me to the castle hurtle back into my mind, along with one of the visions Lorcan sent me. I picture the commander holding a knife to Phoebus's neck instead of Nonna's. Oh gods, I'm gonna be sick. I rush to the bath and throw up my dinner. Lore, don't let anything happen to Phoebus, please.
I've left one of my crows in the east to watch over him.
I scoop out water that hasn't yet clouded with the contents of my stomach and splash my mouth.
You must set off now, though, or Antony's efforts will have been for naught.
My spine straightens at the mention of Antony. I spin around. We leave now. Right now. The hum of adrenaline grows to a deafening crescendo inside my head, pounding against my skull like the waves beyond the cliffs. I keep picturing Phoebus in shackles. How scared my friend must be. And all because of me. Cauldron, if anything happens to him, I'll... I cannot think this way. Lor said he'd keep him safe, and I choose to believe he will. I rush past Dante and jostle his friends. I hear Dante order Gabriele to follow me, and Tavo to settle our bill. As I streak out of the tavern, my vision narrows to a single point. Ahead. Before the day is over, a new order will fall upon Luce. One that I will fight to bring about alongside a Crow King and a Fey Prince. I march through the humid darkness, already imagining myself on the southern coast of Luce, freeing Lore's Crow from its underwater prison, and then smashing the bowl trapping his other. The boy startles as we come around the corner and springs off the bale, a stick willed to a point held high.
At ease, little man. We've just come for our horses.
The boy lowers his arm, which I notice shakes.
You're leaving already?
I walk toward Furia, my body palpitating as though my heart tore into a thousand pieces and drifted into all my extremities. Duty calls. I'm glad Dante sent Gabriele out here with me because where Tavo is the open sea, Gabriele is a cove. His placid tone manages to calm even me. Not much, but enough to steady my hands as I strap the saddle around Furia. Dante, thankfully, doesn't take long to arrive. He steps around the corner just as I've swung atop Furia. I think he'll ride his own horse, but instead, he bequeaths Tavo's upon the stunned child and latches onto the pommel of my saddle. He nods at my foot. I remove it from the stirrup, so... he can spear his through and climb on. I don't make a fuss about having to share, too anxious to head out, and sort of touched that the child got a horse out of all this. That was nice of you, giving him a horse.
I didn't do it to be nice.
Right. He did it because he doesn't trust me.
This better not be a trick, Crow.
Furia leaps forward, wood chips and sand flying every which way. Thanks to Lore, my stallion knows the way. There is no give to the circle of Dante's arms. He may not particularly want to touch me, but he also doesn't want to lose me, because I'm the girl who can free the king, will make him one in turn. As we gallop through a landscape lacquered in moonlight, I think of Phoebus and Nonna. I hope they'll forgive me. I remember the disgust in Dante's eyes and suddenly imagine both my friend and grandmother wearing that same look. Where it hurt coming from Dante, it would destroy me coming from them. I lift my gaze to the deep blue canvas of night, spot a flash of gold and a smear of black high above me. The Crow King is wind and shadow, with a touch of starlight. How long will it take?
Several hours.
Are you ready?
For what?
I turn to glimpse his face. For all this to be yours. His eyebrows hang so low that his irises appear like pools of ink.
Luce won't be mine, Fallon. I've agreed to relinquish Monte Luce, Rococci, and Salvati to Rivia. That's half my kingdom.
I blink, because this is the first I'm hearing of their deal. Why?
Did you really think the Sky King was helping me out of the goodness of his heart?
The truth is, I didn't actually think.
Crows are selfish, devious creatures, motivated solely by the lure of profit. He's only keeping me around because he wants peace with the Fey, and our people, my people, would never answer to a crow.
Your people? I'm still your people.
Are you?
I roused him for you, you pointy-eared dimwit. I roused him so you could sit on a throne, so stop questioning my allegiance. He's quiet for a while.
For me?
Yes. Hard to believe for a girl who's part crow, right? Since, how did you put it, we're all greedy and devious? His chest rises against my back, his thudding heart fluttering the skin between my shoulder blades. One of his hands lifts off the pommel of the saddle and settles on my stomach.
I'm sorry. Be patient, Fal. I've had mere hours to come to terms with all of this.
His thumb begins to draw arcs over my navel. Just as I curl my fingers around his to tow them down, Lore swoops in front of Furia with a cry that makes the stallion stop so suddenly that my heart and body pitch backward. Both of Dante's hands are on the reins again.
What the ever-loving cauldron is wrong with you, Crow?
He roars just as the patch of rock we'd been hurtling toward crumbles into the sea. He's just saved our lives. Well, mine, because falling a dozen meters onto jagged rocks wouldn't have killed Dante.
Tell the princeling to fucking concentrate on the road instead of on your body, Fallon.
Our near spill into the ocean has made our riding party extra vigilant and extra silent. Rock doesn't crumble because of sound, and yet no one speaks. Not even the sprite perched on Gabriele's saddle. Since sprites are only quiet when they're asleep or dead, his silence speaks volumes on the precariousness of this road, especially considering that he has wings and we do not. The cliff is so chalky and slick in these parts that we've had to slow the horses to a walk. And still, the rock disintegrates like dried leaves more than once. It feels as though we're teetering on the brink of the very world as we move deeper south. I'd heard this area of Luce was inhospitable, but I'd never imagined the extent of nature's hostility. I hold my breath when the passage narrows and only release it when my lungs begin to scream for breath. Are we almost there?
Almost.
I suppose that he's as tense as the rest of us. He's so close to regaining his humanity, his people, his kingdom. I cannot believe he bartered to keep so much of Luce for himself. The same way I cannot believe Dante accepted. Then again, did the prince have much of a choice? What will the neighboring monarchies think of a realm split between a fae and a shifter? Will they accept its new geography? Will they ally themselves with both kings? Two kings. The sky has grown brighter, the rising sun having sucked the shadows from the world and painted it in grays and blues. Lorkin's twin smudges of black are so vivid in the light that I worry a passing ship will spot him.
Look up.
I jump when Dante speaks because those are his first words since he yelled at Lore before understanding the crow's intent.
Lorkin has blown our manufactured cloud cover away and unveiled his city for all of Luce to see.
What a bold move.
Marco must be livid.
I crane my neck and look up. And up. And then I slow blink, because windows are carved into the cliff face. This must be another part of the Sky Kingdom. How far does Lore's home reach? I must have asked my question out loud because Dante says,
they've built their nests inside every summit on this longitude. This peak is said to house Ribian's personal quarters.
I'm surprised it still stands.
Marco tried to destroy it, but the stone is magic to be unbreachable. Ropes and fey-made vines turn to ash. Arrows and cannonballs bounce off. Fey fire doesn't crack the windows.
Sybil?